Well, I hope all of us can say that it was good to be here. I've enjoyed that, and all of those that participated in that and singing these songs did a very, very good job. And you did a good job in blending your voices together. I can never think of any better place this side of eternity than to be among God's people and thinking about spiritual things, singing about spiritual things, praying to God about spiritual things, and be able for just a little while to extend an invitation. Appreciate you being here. I know that it's encouraging to each and every one of us. By way of an invitation, I appreciate being asked to extend one. There's a statement that is found in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 18, that makes for a good invitation, a good sermon. You could just do a number of Bible classes on a statement that is found in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. Well, the Bible says, "Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." We just finished singing on nearly an hour of saying praise unto God. I like this question that is asked. Who is a God like unto thee? And you could put a lot of points under a question as you ask, who is a God like unto the God of heaven, our Heavenly Father, the one that we sing these songs to, the one that we seek to worship and serve? Who is a God like unto thee? That's found in Micah 7, verse 18, that pardons iniquity. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, when Jeremiah recorded the words of the Lord, and he said, "The days will come when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not like the one that I made with their fathers, when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, but I'll make a new covenant with them." And he says in verse 34 of that chapter, Jeremiah 31, "I'll be merciful unto them, and I'll remember their iniquity no more." Think about the God that we serve, the God of the Bible, the only God there is, who pardons iniquity. But then, who is a God like unto thee that retains not his anger forever? Again, Micah 7 and verse 18. "I will not keep my anger forever," Jeremiah 3 and then verse 12. "I will not chide," or again, "be angry forever," Psalm 103 and then verse 9. God doesn't stay angry forever. That's a blessing that we can have his pardon, we can have his forgiveness, and be able to be with him for all eternity. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But then again, in Micah chapter 7, verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee that delights in mercy?" We serve a merciful God, a compassionate God. And I'm thankful for that. I need his mercy. I need his compassion. Don't you? Now think about Psalm 136. 26 verses in Psalm 136. And out of those 26 verses, 26 times, it is stated, "His mercy endureth forever." I'm thankful for that. So who is a God like unto the God that we serve, whose mercy truly endures forever? But then as you leave Micah chapter 7, verse 18, you just keep going with it. I think about, who is a God like unto thee that can speak all things into existence in 6 days? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1 and in verse 2, we are not the product of evolution. We're not the product of some random mutation or series of events or anything of that nature, but God spoke all things into existence. Created man in his own image, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. "Formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, I don't know why in the world that there's so much controversy over how long it took God to create all things when the Bible says in 6 days. And each one of those days had a morning and an evening. Think about that. Not eons or multiple millions and billions of years. The Bible doesn't teach that. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 11, the Bible says, "For in 6 days the Lord God made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all things that are therein." So in 6 days, who is a God like unto thee that can create all things in 6 days? But then number 5, who is a God like unto thee who loves as he does? John 3 and then verse 16, probably the well most known and no doubt the most well quoted verse, sometimes misquoted, But quoted by so many, for God so loved the world. Now, that doesn't mean the trees and things he prayed along those lines, but he's talking about men and women. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3, then verse 1. So who is a God like unto thee who loves as he does? Who is a God like unto thee who accepts worship? We just sang unto God. And the Bible says in John chapter 4, then verse 23, that God is spirit, he seeketh such to worship him. That God is spirit, verse 24. And that we must worship him in spirit and in truth. With the right attitude, that's with our spirit, not Holy Spirit worship. But our spirit, and according to revealed truth, as recorded in the Bible. But who is a God like unto thee who desires all men to be saved? In 1 Timothy 2 and then verse 4, God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Who is a God like unto thee who would have all men to be saved? God is not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then I think about a statement over in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 10. Who is a God like unto thee, number 8, who sent his Son for our salvation? Again, 1 John chapter 4 and then verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. But then you kind of get a more full picture of it in 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 2 when the Bible says that he is not only our propitiation, but the propitiation for the whole world. And so who is like unto thee who sent his Son into the world to die, give him his life a ransom for many? Number 9. Who is a God like unto thee who revealed his will by which we can be saved? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes to the church of Christ at Corinth, and he makes known unto them that God revealed his mind by the Holy Spirit. I think about passages when I think about the revealed word of God, like Psalm 19, 1 and 2, and Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, that the things we can look out and we can see attest to the fact that there is a Creator, but that tells us nothing about God's plan to redeem man. It tells us nothing about sin. Tells us nothing about the fact that I am lost, separated from God as a result of my sin. Romans 3, then verse 23, and Romans 6, verse 23. Tells us nothing about God's great scheme of redemption, that is his plan of redemption by which we can come to him and have the forgiveness for our sins. But who is a God like unto thee who revealed his word whereby we can be saved? We are dependent. Our conversion depends upon a number of things. But it depends upon the preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3, Paul points out to them that they were saved by the gospel. If you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, no gospel preaching, no conversion. When churches fail to preach the gospel, you can forget about men and women being converted. Who is a God like unto thee that has revealed his will by which we can be saved? But then number 10, who is a God unto thee who extends fellowship with those whom he created? But it's a stipulated fellowship, 1 John chapter 1. He talks about in that passage that we have fellowship with God and we have fellowship with his Son. We have fellowship with one another. But it's stipulated, 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, in walking in the light. Now that's not walking in the light of my opinion or the light of your thinking or opinion, but in the light of God's Word. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it gives understanding to the simple. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105 and 150. So God extends fellowship to us. Number 11. Who is a God like unto thee who gives eternal life? In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says that God, who cannot lie, has promised eternal life before the world began. And there's a number of things that the Bible points out that are in Christ Jesus. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. If any man therefore be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3. What about this eternal life that God has promised? You ought to make a note beside Titus 1:2 to 1 John 5:11, when the Bible says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life." Now watch this. "And this life that is eternal life is in His Son." If you're not in Christ, you have no hope of eternal life when life is over. So what is a God like unto thee who gives eternal life? One more point, number 12. Who is a God like unto thee who allows the faithful to be with Him for all eternity when this earth life is over? Life can be difficult, you agree? One day this is going to be gone. And we can be with God for all eternity in the joys of heaven with the very God who created us. "If we'll obey the gospel and be faithful, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. And then that hope, again, that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. "Then when those who die in the Lord," those who are in the Lord, when they die, we don't sorrow for them as others which have no hope. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, it's going to be a resurrection. We'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, and forever shall we be with the Lord. Then he says in verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." What a comfort it is. Who is a God like unto thee? I know that most of you have obeyed the gospel tonight. And I appreciate there wanting to be an invitation. I think it's appropriate to extend invitation anytime we have opportunity, any service that it might be, anywhere that it might be, in the hopes that there may be someone in the audience who's not a Christian, but they want to come to the Lord on the Lord's terms and go to heaven when life is over, to serve the God that we just talked about. We just sing praise unto, pray to. "Preacher, what must I do to be saved?" Same thing they did in the Bible. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing in substitution for. But here in the Gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, Jesus said, "Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins." John 8:24, repenting of your sins, turning away from the wickedness of the world, as you turn unto God in faithful obedience, without which we'll perish. Luke 13:35. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. You do that, God will forgive you for everything you've ever done. Every sin washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. Added to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ, Acts 2:47. Maybe you're here tonight and you have done that, and you're not being faithful as you should. God made provision for that, that the prodigal, the wayfaring, can come home. Repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. Acts 8 and 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. There's danger and delay, so come forward right now.
Number 332.
All to Jesus I surrender. Presence stay.
Let us pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer again, thankful for this beautiful day, Father, thankful for this opportunity we've all been blessed with to put aside the troubles and woes of the everyday life and the world, that we can come together with brothers and sisters of like faith, Father, and that we can sing these praises to you. We know that it's edifying to one another and it's encouraging to each other, and we're so thankful for it. We pray that this service this evening was worthy of you, was acceptable by you. We thankful for all the many talented men that we have here and their ability and their willingness to stand up and to lead songs. And we're just so thankful for everyone's presence, Father, especially those that are visiting with us. We're thankful for them as well. We come to you in prayer, Father, with our meeting this upcoming week on our minds. We pray that it will be a good meeting, that we will come to you, Father, as a smooth-smelling savor, and that you will enjoy it. It will be acceptable by you. And we're thankful for Brother Stephen. We pray that he will have safe travels here. And we're so thankful for him and his willingness to bring a message to us. We pray that as an audience that we will open our word or open our Bibles, that we'll follow along so we might become better Christians for you. As we prepare to depart from here, Father, this evening, I pray that you go with each and every one of us, that you will guide, guard, and direct us and keep us safe. Forgive us for all of our sins. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.